Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the show. Vassos is here.
Ciao, ciao.
What's that about? Oh, sorry about this, everyone. If you're listening on the podcast, listen to yesterday's. It was a belter with Russell Brand. Sinead's here.
Hello. Hello,
Sinead. And Tequila Tilly's here.
Howdy.
How are you, Tequila Tilly?
Great. How are you?
I'm great. You have a Coventry champ for us.
I do. So there's not much going for Coventry City.
You're a big Coventry fan, though.
I am a Coventry fan.
Were you at Wembley last week?
I wasn't, no. I was watching at home in my T-shirt, though.
Okay.
And very sad.
All right.
But there's not much going for a Coventry fan. But Coventry does have two cathedrals.
I didn't know that.
So they sing, "If you want a cathedral, we've got one to spare. Oh, Coventry."
What, on the terraces of the football ground?
You've got to take the wins where you have them.
Okay, that is now making West Ham's new chance sound acceptable and maybe even good. The reason we're banging on about this nonsense is because the West Ham fans haven't been to bed since Wednesday and their newest chant doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Give us West Ham's new chant again.
Just sold my car to Lucas Paqueta.
Just sold my car to Lucas. And it does work with the actual song. Here we go.
Just sold my car
to Lucas Paqueta.
Just sold my car
to Lucas Paqueta.
Just sold my car
to Lucas Paqueta.
Give us a Coventry one again off the back of it.
If you want a cathedral, we've got one to spare. Oh, Coventry.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just feel so like we've got. It's all we've got.
I just feel like it ends very abruptly. Like, there should be maybe just another line of something to do with football. I don't know. I mean, who am I to say? I've never come up with a chance. So.
Actually, we do have more on the way. Sarah Beeny, the brilliant Sarah Beeny's on the way. Tell us about Sarah, Sinead.
Well, people know her as a property expert. Years on the telly doing all this, like, wonderful, like, you know, advice to everyone. And now she's got a new life in the country. But very sadly, as people might well know, she was diagnosed with cancer. And so she has this new program out on Monday, Sarah Beeny vs. Cancer, and it just follows through her journey of getting treatment. And you hear from her husband, her lovely four boys, and it's upbeat in so many ways. It's obviously very sad in so many ways, and it just really shows her personality through so much because she's one tough cookie.
Brilliant, and her family are amazing.
I mean, I was already in love with them anyway, but even more so now. Four wonderful boys.
With you all the way. Also on the show today, the brilliant super host of Saturday Kitchen, Matt Tebbutt. Tell us about Matt Vassos.
Oh, he's just so likeable, isn't he, on the telly. You know, you love being in his company and you're watching Saturday Kitchen. You're thinking, this is a lovely show. And he's chatting and he's in a kitchen and whoops, he's just whipped up a beef Wellington. It's just, he's so flipping good at it, isn't he? And he's just a lovely man, a lovely human being and a very, very good cook and host.
Also on the show today, McFly. Tell us about McFly, Tilly.
McFly are just one of the best bands to have ever come out of this country. They've been together for 20 years this year, formed in 2003, made up of Tom, Danny, Dougie and Harry. They've had 7 number one singles in the UK and they're back with their 7th album, Power to Play, which is out today.
All right, Crystal Palace fans, football chant. To former Colchester goalie, Dean Gherkin. Stayed in a burger. You should have stayed in a burger. Right, who's next, Vassos, please?
She's your favourite property presenter on the telly, and when you watch her new show on Monday, she might just become your favourite presenter on the telly. The inspirational Sarah Beeny versus Cancer airs Monday at 9 on Channel 4. So let's welcome the itsy bitsy teeny weeny super lovely Sarah Beeny!
Sarah Beeny! One Sarah Beeny! There's only one Sarah Beeny! One Sarah Beeny! And you are here to tell us the tale of Sarah Beeny versus Cancer, 9 p.m. Channel 4. This is a must watch for everybody. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's so nice to see
you. Thank
you. You look well, you look strong, you look bright, you look sparkling. What do you want to say about this show, this amazing film you've made?
Well, do you know, thank you. That is quite some introduction. You're very kind.
But it's all true. I could be kinder if we just have time.
Well, thank you. Do you know, it was... it was a kind of a moment where I decided I'd make this documentary. Mm-hmm. I thought, if you're going to do it, then do it properly and be honest.
Yep.
And I wanted to tell the story about having... I wanted to raise awareness, and I wanted people to feel that they weren't alone if they didn't have a family. I'm really lucky. I've got a really lovely, supportive family, and it was hard for me. And if you didn't have a supportive family, it's harder. So
yeah. And you can't get too many different takes on any scary situation in life, I don't think.
No. I suppose any scary situation, the one thing I've learned is, because I was more scared about breast cancer before I got it, because my mum died when I was 10.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second.
But I kind of think if you can remember that, it will all be everything in life's kind of okay, isn't it? Eventually.
Well, it is what it is. I mean, that's the thing. You take it head on, and you more than take it head on. So you open the film. I love the pre-titles. The pre-titles is Sarah, Effin and Jeffin while the film crew are getting ready, just to get us in the mix. But it's a great tone setter.
Well, do you know, it's really funny that because I made this show with Johnny and Angie, so just three of us made it. Okay. And I wouldn't have done it with a crew I didn't know or anything. So, and when he cut that, so he was in the edit and he said, I've cut this beginning in, what do you think? And I was like, ooh, God, ooh. And then, of course, everyone got really upset about it because they said it's got swearing. And I was like, you have to leave it in. It's really, really powerful because it was an accident. And anyway, we all agreed that it could be bleeped. So there's quite a lot of bleeping.
I think because it gets you ready, first of all, you haven't started filming, even though the cameras are running. And you know what I mean by that, if you're listening. What it says to me as a viewer is, and I love you anyway, I think you're amazing. You know, we've chatted before. Your son's bands have been at Carfest, and they made the cut.
I know.
We're in.
You've been so wonderful, honestly. That's
No, they God, love you. Anything I could have done to help. But what it does is it says, look, this is going to be different. This is a different side of Sarah Beeny. So I was in anyway. And then I'm like, could I be any more in? No, I can't. I'm just checking. But this would have got me more in were I not in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, I think it shows, to be honest, I mean, it is quite a bit of swearing that is bleep. But I guess to me that's what happens when... It was such a high stress moment, and if you're in that high stress moment, that's kind of what comes out my mouth, which probably isn't very good.
Yeah, because I got a preview version, it wasn't bleeped.
Oh no! It's quite sweary.
Like, and they've not bleeped it. That's really brave.
But I did fight for that a bit, but they were a little bit unhappy on the channel.
Well, it's cool, man. It's cool. So, I mean, one of the things, answer any question that I don't ask if I ask the wrong question, because I don't really care. I just want you to get all the news out there. You suggest in the film that you've basically been waiting for cancer to knock on your door for the last 50 years.
Yeah, I mean, I have, well, probably 40, because since my mother died. But yeah, so I got it at 50. And I sort of had, I guess the main thing I feel is that I had a really big fear of breast cancer. And if I'm really honest, it was out of proportion with the amazing treatment that went on, because a lot of our fear of cancer is based on someone who's maybe died, who we adored like 20 years ago or 10 years ago. And it's not based on current treatment. And current treatment is so amazing.
That's the big thing.
And it's getting better every day, particularly for breast cancer. I'm not saying everyone is going to be fine, but the outcomes, especially the earlier the diagnosis. So if you've got any suspicion, go and get it checked, because the earlier the diagnosis, the better the outcome.
Yeah. So even in the last 10 years, like you say, since your mum very sadly passed away, she survived for 6 years after the original diagnosis.
Yeah.
Give us a bit of her journey, then we'll move on to yours.
Yeah. So she had breast cancer. Well, God. So she died 40 years ago when I was 10. So, and she got it when I was 4. So, but I didn't know. It was a long, long time ago. But her diagnosis, weirdly, amazingly, I found her notes by some incredible miracle. They hadn't been burnt. Anyway, but so that was part of an investigation. But her treatment was the early days, and she went on a trial that didn't work, but the results of that mean that they now is treatment, and she didn't see her grandchildren, but I'll see mine.
Yeah, I mean, one of the parts of the film when you get most upset, and it sort of creeps up on you, I think, in this particular part of the amazing documentary you've made, is when you talk about your mum and you're okay with that, and then you talk about your children and how much they need their mum, because everyone needs their mum.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you didn't have your mum. And that drops so, that lands so much more heavily with so much more gravity. And I think that's where we all had to pause the film.
Yeah, that is the truth, is that they do. And I know they do. And, you know, my children are, well, everyone's children are the world to them. Well, maybe not everyone, but most people's children are the world, yep. world to them. And I'm so privileged to have the children and the husband that I have, because this journey has been made absolutely so much more bearable, because I just am really blessed. That's the greatest thing that I'm blessed for, is having my kids and husband
and support them with you. I mean, yeah, that's the thing, you know.
They are for everyone, aren't they? But, you know, meanwhile, we all kind of got manically on board doing, I think I went into overdrive. Some people say I've got, might have a bit of ADHD, which I definitely don't.
Yes, you do.
So when I was diagnosed, I was like, right, okay, what are we going to do? So I made a daytime show, which is on at the moment. Yeah. Then I wrote a book. And then all the children, I was like, well, come along, we're all going to do loads of things. So they were like manically writing songs. And because they, obviously, as you said, there's a band. And I've got a book coming out in August. In fact, I've did more during cancer treatment than I have ever in 1 year. To be honest, our family was just like churning out stuff. Like, you know, it's like non-stop.
Yeah, but you're quite a busy bee anyhow. We'll get to bees later if we've got time.
Oh, yes, bees.
When you set off, you've got to watch this film, everyone. Sarah Beeny versus Cancer, Monday night, 9 p.m. on Channel 4 and available thereafter forever, hopefully. Why wouldn't it be? Couple of standout moments for me. It's all, by the way, it's all standout, but we have to talk about something. So we'll talk about a couple of things. When you set off for your first chemo, you decide to go on your own.
Mm.
That for me was interesting, instructive, enlightening, fantastic. For people who haven't seen the film yet, just speak to that a little bit, will you?
Yeah. Well, that's probably me, actually. You know, it wasn't that no one else could be bothered to come.
I know. In fact, they all waved you off.
Yes,
like,
yeah.
From the drive, it's like, Mum, we will come with you. No, nope, yeah. I'm fine, thank you.
Yeah.
Go on my own.
It's kind of, you know, sometimes, well, I find that when you really need to handle something, sometimes you just have to find something inside yourself.
Yeah.
And that's like a... I just need to, it's almost like I kind of go in, I just need to be focused and centred to cope with things.
It's so interesting, isn't it, as a thought, because if you don't have anyone to go with you, that's one thing. And, you know, that's not fair.
Everybody
should have
horrendous.
At least one person or some people to go with them, you know, when they're worried about something. But I think that most people know, I'm with you. As long as we know we've got people who would go with us, we don't want them to come with us.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
That's so it.
That's it.
That's so exactly it. Yeah. It's knowing that they're there.
Yeah.
But I'm all right. And then you feel that gives you the confidence to deal with it on your own. In fact, that's what it is. Is you know that they give you the confidence
to
deal with stuff.
They've got your back at home.
Yeah.
You know, mission control is all good and safe and ready for your return.
Which makes you strong enough.
Yeah. And now that you know that, actually, you want all of yourself available to yourself to focus and get
on
this
yourself.
Job, get the job done.
Yes, that's exactly
Snap.
It. Exactly. You're so spot
ADHD
on.
ADHD trends.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, do you have it?
Well,
no, of course not.
Right, let's talk next about another really moving scene. Because the film, it's like, it's a big, heavy subject, which has really heavy really incisive moments of drama and things that stop you in your tracks. But it all sort of comes across so beautifully composed. And then the moment that you decide to chop your hair off and you have this familial hair cutting ceremony, don't you?
Yeah.
Just talk about that decision.
Well, I think I'm a bit of a control freak because I thought just a little bit. So I thought if you're going to cut off your hair, then my hair was going to fall out.
Yeah,
and that was going to come out.
This is the point.
Either way. And you can do these cold caps and they say it might not, or some of it might not fall out.
Right.
And I don't like mites. I like definite things.
Yeah.
So I thought if it's going to fall out, it's going to go all over the bed. And at least if I cut it off, I can send it to the prince's, the Little Princess Trust, which makes wigs for young children. I mean, they probably didn't want my hair because it was a little bit overtreated.
It's gorgeous is what it is.
But anyway, so you put it in tiny little bunches, which means they can make it into a wig. Whereas if I'd let it fall out, it would have been just all over the car and I'd have had to hoover it up.
Stay useful. So be as useful as you can in any situation.
Always.
Stay curious.
Yes.
Dive when the macro worries you and wobbles you, dive into the detail, you know, and use the detail as a useful distraction to become more able to help yourself and help other people in a situation.
Yeah, I think that's, and try and find something positive in all situations. And actually, I sort of, they were happy. They all offered to cut their hair off. I was like, that's a bit over the top.
And then you go, of course, because the people who deal with patients, cancer patients, are so amazing, you then go to a wig department, don't you?
Yeah, now here's something amazing. Yeah. So I imagined a wig would look like sort of a dead rat sort of sliding off your head. Do you remember that Hamlet advert? I'm so old that I remember that.
And other but things. It was,
anyway, those sort of like things that, you know, anyway. And I was like, I am not wearing one of those wigs. Anyway, I went in because I thought, well, I probably, you know, ought to just be aware of how bad the wigs are.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, the NHS gives you a wig and they are amazing.
They are amazing.
I mean, so brilliant. So I thought you couldn't have an artificial wig. They're so easy, so much easier than a real hair wig, actually, I realise. So yeah, brilliant. Everyone needs a wig.
Now, when your son's band played at Carfest, and it's in the show, you were going to come and you decided not to come, and your hubby did come, because he's sort of in the band anyway. He's like the silent member of the band. And you were at home, and then they returned home after their gig, and you said you teared up a lot, actually, because you said you so wish you'd been there, because you never really missed anything they've done before.
I mean, no, I haven't missed them, literally. You know, at like 3 when they're on stage and they say, "Big car," and you're like, "Yes, that was the best two
big
words.
Big car, little car, ever.
Brilliant. Like, gosh, I'm a genius." Anyway, so I've never missed anything. Well, I probably have, but largely not. I've been very, very fortunate in my career that I can get to things like, you know, them doing the Egg and Spoon race and stuff. Anyway, so I've never missed anything. But to miss them playing at Carfest was, I mean, that's like a massive, it's massive. It's like a proper grown-up place. It's like, and I'm it was really, really,
because
really
we didn't
hard.
Know whether you were going to come or not. We were told you might be coming, and then at the last minute they said, you know, the message I got, I'll be honest with you, was she doesn't feel well enough to come. But actually that wasn't the case on the day, was it?
No, it was just after my first chemo, and they said you mustn't get an infection.
Yeah.
And to be honest, probably a few chemos down the line I would have been a bit more kind of like robust.
Chemo hard.
That's it. But after the first one, they said, don't get an infection. Don't do this. Don't do that. You're going to be sick everywhere. It's going to be. And I thought, they don't need me being sick in very nice loser at Carfest. But, you know, I was thinking, I don't need to be. I mean, I'll be a real pain there if I'm sort of, you know, being really ill.
So once again, thinking of others, putting others first, which also helps, doesn't it?
It does help.
We've talked about this before. Being selfless is one of the most selfish things you can do, because it does make you feel better and everybody thinks you're really nice.
Yes, yes, it's a tick-tick, isn't it? Brilliant.
It is.
Yeah, so, but yeah, and also I thought, yeah, it wasn't as, I didn't feel as bad as I thought. And I luckily got a few infections, but not, you know, you end up... You know, it's so lucky in the UK that we have all this amazing treatment.
I know. So we're talking to Sarah Beeny about Sarah Beeny versus cancer. It's on Channel 4. It's on at 9 o'clock on Monday. And please, 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 please watch it. It's not doom and gloom. It's not doubt. It has its moments, but it's a wonderful film. It's a beautiful film. Don't you think, Sinead?
I absolutely do. I mean, like I was saying earlier, I've always been a massive fan of yours, so, and just like love all of your programmes. And this is just beautiful. And like you say, I think your family are just so wonderful. 4 boys and they're all lovely and all get on.
Well, do you know, they don't always, they are quite annoying at times.
I was going to say, thank God.
They do get on, actually. But actually, they are young and they work really hard. So they don't always load the dishwasher, but you know, my youngest, who's the drummer, is 13. And so he is young to be expected to do. They probably get practice for like, I think 15 hours a week and on top of school. And that's a lot, isn't it? Actually, sometimes when I'm cross with them, I'm like, you pick up your clothes off the bathroom floor. And then I think, well,
it's not very rock and roll, Mum. Come on, leave it out.
Yeah, so it's hard work for them, and they work really hard, and they're, you know, they do amazing things. It's amazing
really
what they're doing. They are
awesome.
Good.
Passos.
I really loved it, Sarah. I mean, I have... A bit like you know, my wife Caroline, her mum's had breast cancer, her sister's had breast cancer. She's very high risk. She's got that gene you were talking about. And so, I didn't really know about the details of it. So it was kind of really useful. You know, I hope it never happens. But if it does happen, I'll be a better husband for watching your show. So thank you very much.
Oh,
well
good.
Said. Well said.
And the other thing is, you know, you were talking about your hair and you know, having it all cut off in the kitchen, which should actually look quite fun.
Yeah, it was quite fun at the end.
But then it does come out, doesn't it? And it starts coming out, even your short hair starts coming out after the school run. And you just talked to, was it just a camera in the dashboard?
Do you know?
And it was, that kind of got me. That got me welling up on your behalf.
Yeah, well, thank you. Do you know, it was weird because I was sort of empowered when the kids and Graham cut off my hair. But when it fell out, it was, and my amazing, so I made this with Johnny and Angie, as I said, and Johnny said, do video diaries. And I said, I'm not doing video diaries. That's a stupid idea because they're going to look awful. And he said, well, do them and we don't have to use them. And I only did them because I trust him completely and trust Angie. And I said, look, we'll probably cut them out. But when I thought maybe we'll refilm them, but actually, when you put it in the edit and you see it, I thought, no, that is the truth. That's true. Yeah, so yeah, I left
well
it in.
Well done for leaving it in. You know, I mean, well done everybody for leaving it in, but everybody's not you. So well done you for leaving it in.
It was honest. I wanted the documentary to be honest.
Well, there's no point making it.
No.
You know, otherwise.
And hopefully uplifting as well.
No, it's really... I felt... After I watched it, I felt really strange because I thought, I don't feel sad.
Good, good. That is what I wanted.
Yeah.
Because I don't want people to be scared.
No, I know.
In the same way.
And I've been surrounded by cancer. My mum died of cancer. My dad died of cancer. His two brothers died of cancer. You know, I've had things snipped out of me and stopped from spreading the same things that killed my dad. Exactly the same thing that killed him, I've had snipped out of me. But I just thought, how did you make that? What have you just done to me there, Sarah Beeny, with this film of yours? Because I actually felt so positive for the future of cancer, probably for the first time in my life.
Do you know, I'm so, so glad. And that was, and actually, I mean, as you know, the boys, they released a song today, but it plays over the end credits. And I kind of, to me, everything is sort of it should be uplifting. And to me, that sort of sums up, this documentary sums up how I feel about cancer.
Where are we now?
Now I finished treatment. A lot of people said, oh, that's all clear. And Billy, my son, said, keeps going, no, sir, that is the same. And I keep going, no, it's not, because all clear and end of treatment actually sort of feel different, but end of treatment and that's it. So, yeah, I guess.
Ultrasound looked good.
Well, yeah, but I had to have a bilateral mastectomy because I've got a gene called PALB2. So actually I can't get breast cancer anymore. Well, you could. It wasn't in my lymph glands, so it kind of hopefully won't spread. I mean, it could spread, but that's sort of it. They're like, well, come back if you think you've got cancer. I went, really? I'm not a doctor. How am I meant to know that? I'm on tamoxifen, which is 10 years. You take a tablet, which hasn't had the side effects I expected, which is really, I was really nervous about taking that. In fact, I didn't take it for 3 weeks. I call them the unhappy bag in the corner. I was like, I'm not taking the unhappy bag. Actually, but it's been
better.
You have
to, because that's your thank you, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's your 10-year thank you.
Yeah. So good. I mean, you know, We're lucky, aren't we?
It's me. You know, you can only live in the here and the now.
Completely. Today's today, isn't it?
That's it. And you know that better than most people.
Yeah. And it's, you know, today's day and it all, in the big scheme of things, I'm very close to my brother and we always say to each other, you know, it's all going to be okay. It's just, you know, it's fine, isn't it?
Great shirt, by the way.
Shirt, did you say?
Rocking the shirt.
Thank you. It's awesome. Spotty.
Is it in the sale?
Yes. Yeah, bargain.
Sarah, it's great to see you.
Oh,
it's always
it's
great
so
to see
nice
you, but
it's
never
you.
Been great for obvious reasons.
You're very kind. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Of course, Escape to the Country Lives thing.
Yes. Oh, my daytime show is on at 5 o'clock every day at the moment.
Yeah. It's brilliant, by the way.
Oh, thank you very
much. More absolutely crackers couples. Seeing if they can smash it in the country.
But they're really, do you know, it's a really joyous show. If you're not a negative person, you'll like that 5 o'clock every day.
Great. Sarah Beeny versus Cancer. It's on Channel 4. It's on at 9 o'clock on Monday. And if you don't watch it, then there's no point in you having a telly. Okay? That's it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Vassos!
There's no room on the third floor, so we've brought their catchy genius up to 17. Their new album, Power to Play, is out today and they're back on tour this autumn. But first, with their cover of Dancing in the Dark by McBruce McSprinkstein, it's McFly!
You're mad. What's going on? There's eight people, right? If you go down the corridor and you look on your right, there's eight people booked a meeting room and trying to have a meeting.
Sorry.
And I just passed it. They went, oh, forget it. Or words to that effect. Good morning, boys. How are you?
Oh, we're great. How are you?
Oh, amazing. Thanks so much for coming. Honestly, you're lighting up the world this morning. It's so cool.
Do you know what? It's so cool to play live. Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, shush. The pleasure's all ours. So this is a brand new album. You're rocking it right up. You've gone for it with this album. Tom, thoughts before, during, and now here where we are. As an album drops, another McFly album drops today!
Woo! I think this is our seventh, is that right? Our seventh studio album? And I think this is the one where, obviously you've seen us play live many times. Actually, you saw us play live before you heard any of our records.
Yeah, I saw you play live when you were seven. in a warehouse near the post office in, I can't remember the name of the, it's between Camden and where the Big Breakfast used to be, but I can't remember that.
Is it
Dalston?
Caledonian Road.
Where the post office is.
Yeah. Well, post office, it's a prison there. It's definitely a prison.
Anyway,
there.
Sorry. We'll know about that.
What I was going to say is that I feel like this, for the first time in our 20 years, we've been able to translate what we do live onto a record. And which is why it's so much fun to be able to start playing these songs live finally.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the first true representation of, because I think when people think of McFly, you think of like Five Cousin and a Hair or All About You or Stargirl. There's like lots of different kind of sounds from McFly. And I think what makes all of them tie together and make sense is when you see us play live.
Yeah.
And this is the first time we've been able to actually record that.
So why? Why so long, do you think?
I don't know why it's taking so long. I think we've always kind of consciously tried to make a record that sounds like something, to have a sound, like, so the when you put it on, it's recognizable as a collection of songs.
Yeah.
But then it's more about like, when we play live, how do we recreate the record? And I think this time it's more about how do we make the record recreate what we do live.
Interesting, isn't it? Interesting, come full circle. So we could go to origin stories. Best origin story so far, brand new, or hot off the press, Up Chucking Dougie.
Yeah.
Almost didn't make the band because you couldn't stop throwing up.
Yeah, I can't believe it's taken 20 years for that story to come out.
Unlike the stuff that was actually coming out at the time.
Yeah, that wasn't true, obviously. But yeah, I threw up in the bin outside the audition to
right.
The band. Yeah.
Okay. Anybody got a McFly origin story that can come close to that?
Oh, put us on the spot. What can we think of?
Go on, Tom.
Dougie didn't get in the band first time.
Right, didn't get in.
Didn't
the band.
Get in.
So was there a pre Dougie Dougie?
This is like a villain origin story.
We didn't want him. I got in, and then we had we just couldn't find a bass player, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Dougie came back for a second audition.
Did he?
Yeah. And then he got in. It got down to Dougie and one other guy, and we all got asked who do we want, and I said the other guy.
Really?
Well, he lied. He lied.
Who lied?
Dougie lied. I remember saying, mate, what star sign are you? And he went, I don't know. I was like, what? And I just thought that was a good question to ask. And he didn't know, but he was lying about his date of birth to have an audition.
All right. So, but he sounds like he's still not been accepted.
Well, no, he hasn't. It's a 20-year trial period.
Okay. So it's today the day?
It's Judgment Day.
What do you reckon?
Today's the day. We decide. It depends how he plays the next song.
If you're watching this on YouTube, you'll know that the other three are together now in a huddle.
Looking at him. Yeah.
And Dougie, let's hear it for Dougie, everyone.
Thanks.
The truth is, we're just jealous because he's better looking than us and younger than us.
Yeah, there's a bit of Pete Best, Ringo Starr, Beatles thing going on there. Now, Danny, you're cooking on gas, lead vocals, guitar, as always, joint lead vocals, but you're also literally cooking on gas because you keep cooking live on Instagram. And it seems like you might know what you're doing.
Do you know what? I love cooking. Right. I loved it before I did MasterChef. And MasterChef's just given me that extra bit of knowledge.
Extra bit of confidence.
And I'm basically just an overrated home cook.
Wow. Okay.
But I love it, you know, and it's like, for me, it's quite mindful. And like, when I go home, first thing I do, I cook, and that's the only thing. Put my phone to one side,
put the
music on, maybe a glass of wine. Literally, best thing.
Yeah, and it's just chopping, getting the chopping board out, starting the ritual.
Oh, I love it.
I love it too.
And then the smells make you know, and there's music. It just feels, it's very comforting.
I agree. Yeah. You feel you're with yourself. You
absolutely.
Have yourself back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tom, let's just talk briefly about Giovanna, because she's embarking on this amazing walk, isn't she?
She's about to do another trek for Copperfield, for the breast cancer
awareness. We've been getting texts from ladies who are packing this morning to be with her.
Amazing.
On a 5-day trek at Hadrian's Wall.
That's right, yep. And she's a patron for the charity she's been on. I went on one of them, actually. When she was pregnant, I went on. And the treks are amazing. They're these genuinely life-changing experiences, and not because of, obviously it's a challenge and the walk is a challenge, but the people you meet and the stories. I mean, I massively overshared all of Al McFly secrets with everyone that I was on day one of the walk, but you just tell all of these. What? Apart from the throwing up story,
I was going to say, apart from the Dougie story,
there's some bad secrets, Tom. Which ones have you been sharing?
Oh, I love them.
Oh, I like this. This is it, isn't it? This is the beginning. This is the birth of rock and roll, McFly. It's all coming out now. You got the rock album out for the first time, because I think it's because you feel like you can, if you don't mind me saying.
Yeah, I think there is an element of that. I think before, you know, we kind of tread the line between pop and rock. And I think with pop music, which I love, the trends change so quickly, and you can easily fall into the trap of trying to chase those trends and copy other things.
Yeah.
That are out. And I think this time we started writing a record, and our producer said, look, you need to forget these songs.
They're boring.
He said they were boring.
Yeah.
And he made us write down on a whiteboard what McFly meant to us and what we wanted the album to sound like. And guitars and guitar music and rock music was kind of front and centre.
Got it. So, Dougie, aside from the story that's in all the papers today that you forgot that you said on the telly last night, give us some of Dougie's perspective on the world of McFly 20 years on, because I was doing the maths, 2004, Five Colours in Her Hair, but of course you were together the year before that, which was 2003, which is 20 years. Boom, there you go.
Well, I mean, for me, it doesn't really feel like it's been 20 years. It only feels like a good couple of years, maybe, but 20 years, I don't know. But right now feels really, really awesome. We were just talking about it the other day. Like, I haven't been this excited about a new album since maybe like the third album.
Yeah.
It feels really, really riot.
But I can sense that today. Yeah, I mean, you're always pros. You always give great gig. There's no, you leave nothing on the pitch. You always give. If you ever see McFly, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't seen McFly, you will not be disappointed. Even if you can't stand the sound of their name, just go and see them and you'll be converted. Seriously.
Thank you.
But I know what you mean, though, because you do. How has it been 20 years and you're still loving what you do? You seem to have a sort of, not a rebirth, but there seems to be something different today about you. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel it. Yeah, I really feel it. I feel like really, really excited. I feel like everyone's on the same page, but it really doesn't feel like 20 years. It only feels like, a couple of years ago that you were the first celebrity I met.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
You took me out for my 18th birthday.
No, I took your mum out for your 18th birthday. Wee. What, brought me along? Wee. Right, let's take it. Let's tell it like it is. Tom, did you think that 20 years hence from 2003/2004? I mean, did you ever think about 20 years on? Did you ever think about this? How does this compare to thoughts you may have had of the future?
I think we always said we were committed to this forever, you know, for the long run. But the reality of that is like a 20-year, it's a relationship, you know, it's a friendship. And that goes through ups and downs and, you know, and you have to really work on I think the thing that took us by surprise is how much you have to work on your relationship over 20 years.
Yeah.
And obviously that goes through, Harry's going
to. This album is us spicing things up in the bedroom.
Oh, there you go.
So hence why our relationship's really good.
Harry,
at the moment.
You're on fire today, man.
It is. Well,
nobody,
you're right. We've
nobody
just said,
puts
we
Harry said, behind the drum kit other than Harry.
I was very.
I don't know.
Does any other drummers? Any other drummers ever come in and walked from the drums to the lead singer's mic?
Guys, this is my moment live
by the way,
on radio.
Double holding the mic like Donny Osmond in his heyday.
The truth is, my palms are sweating slightly.
Harry Love.
Exactly.
You must be excited about the cricket next week.
Oh, yes, finally, let's talk about cricket. So everyone wants to talk about. I've been giving Tom lots of lessons on cricket because his son loves cricket.
Yeah.
My son loves a guitar.
Yeah.
There's something weird going on there. I've been giving Tom a lesson on the Ashes, the history of the Ashes, why it's so special. And I showed him the Headingley 2019 highlights, Ben Stokes, Jack Leach. Yeah. He got hairs on his arms.
Hairs thing. Where he's never, he had only dreamt of hairs before.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yes, I'm very excited about the cricket.
Okay, and you are quite a good cricketer.
Well, we went to India, of course, together,
yeah,
didn't we?
Yeah, we did play cricket in
2005.
That's how we know, isn't it?
Yes, we do.
So, cricket, your favourite thing in the world?
I'd say just second after McFly. Come on. I
okay.
love McFly.
No, that's your job, though. I mean, yeah. so cricket, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, cricket.
There's your family as well, but
yeah.
that we take that.
Oh, yeah, whoops. Yeah. No, yeah, family.
So I was
cricket,
saying, not
McFly.
With telling McFly and my family, we cricket with it.
Yes, yeah, I love
All
cricket.
Right, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
McFly, come on! Yay! Live from the top of the tower, brand new album out today. Hey.
With a pinch of razzle and a dollop of dazzle, our next guest makes your weekend begin delicious. Saturday Kitchen continues tomorrow morning at 10 on BBC One with a very special superstar guest. He's also coming to Carfest, so if for no other reason, buy a ticket and leg it to Matt Tebbit!
Yay! Matt Tebbit in the house. Hi, Matt.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. I love this because you're on our show. We're talking about going on your show. Then tomorrow on your show, we'll talk about the fact you've been on our show. Yay!
Symbiotic.
And
what a party atmosphere this is.
It's always like this. It's not unlike your program.
It's kind of ridiculous, though. Yeah, I came in quite sleepy today.
Yeah.
And then I heard them, the no McFly chance. Boys are amazing.
But you've had a bit of a rock and roll week. You went to see Coldplay.
Yes, I did.
Where was that?
That was in Cardiff the other night, and they were amazing. I'm kind of wholesome. I felt better for going.
Did you?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did you wear the wristband? Did you get
yeah,
a wristband?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
You went with the family?
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's around the corner because you live in Monmouth.
Yeah, I did. It's about sort of 40 minutes away, but what an atmosphere. I mean, those guys really know
and
how
they
to do
always
stadiums.
Pull a white rabbit out of a hat. Not then they need to. What was Tuesday's?
They pulled Kelly Jones.
Stereophonics.
What? Yeah, it was amazing. And you know how they moved from the main stage and they got that runway?
Yeah.
And then they moved to another sort
In
of
the
little
round,
stage.
Intimate.
Where they sort of, all the guys at the back of the stadium, they sort of connect with them.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kelly Jones came in and they played acoustically. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Wow, what a week. So you love your rock and roll then?
Yeah,
you love
cool.
your music.
Yeah,
and you've
yeah.
been to Carfest before?
I have. I did it last year and it was fab. It's just a real good feel-good kind of festival. Everyone wants to be there, everyone's having fun. It's just get the weather good as well. It's just wild.
Yeah, and the weather's going to be great because we've been told by my gardener Leszek that this weather's going to stay till September, which is great because Carfest is the last week in August. So we just about made, and he's convinced. He says no because he's checked all his weather. He knows about all this stuff. Okay, I'm so glad you're coming again despite Emily's best attempts
to
turn you vegetarian over the campfire.
Very sorry about our 18-year-old.
Can you reframe this so people can get up to date with it?
Emily, she's 19 now. She was 18 then. She had quite a lot of the free booze on offer in that
right.
bar.
So had I, to be fair, which is why I don't remember.
And she was, you know, in that 18-year-old earnest way.
Yeah, yeah.
She didn't know that you were Matt from Saturday Kitchen. She was just telling you because she was telling a lot of people that she's vegetarian now Brilliant. And you should turn vegetarian. And whenever you started to say, well, the thing is, she goes, no, it's fine. I thought that too. But I'm vegetarian and it's fine.
So I think that was at a time I was doing karaoke Angels with Mike from BBC Sport.
Yeah, which has a surprisingly difficult key change in it.
Yeah, I handled it well.
Yeah, I love that. It's like we can all speak French as well when we drink, can't we? Oh, my goodness. So Saturday Kitchen, you started as a super sub for James Martin back in the mid-noughties.
Quite some time ago. I stood in for him once. And then I did it again. And then there was many years I didn't do it. And then it suddenly sort of came around. And it was, it's not an overnight sensation. Let's say that. But it's great. I absolutely loved it.
So how many years have you been doing it for now?
I think probably full time for about 7.
Isn't that crazy?
Like that.
Isn't that you've
quicker.
Been the incumbent host on Saturday Kitchen for 7 years now?
And do you know what? And people still say, "Oh, you're that bloke from Saturday Kitchen." They don't even quite know your name or Saturday in the Morning or something like that. They never quite.
Yeah, but
get
look, we take what we can get in this business, don't we? Of course we do. How did cooking start for you? Where did it start? I hear whispers of Prue Leith.
Yeah. So I did a year at her college, and then I went into kitchens through London and. That was it, really. I've always been greedy. And I think family holidays, we had a little caravan. We used to go to northern France and eat sort of snails and really good bread and fish soup and all those kind of
the simple
delicious,
things done well.
Delicious bistro food. So I really got into it then. And then I used to cook for my housemates when I was in university. And that became really quite enjoyable. And then I just sort of
so you
thought I'd give it a try.
So you genuinely liked cooking? It was something you did for
Absolutely.
Pleasure?
Absolutely. And I always wanted to go into the Air Force. And then that that had a change of tack. Flying was really hard, it turns out. So I used to go back and
cook. As opposed to flying.
Exactly, very good. And I used to go back and cook for my flatmates. And that became more sort of more fun, I suppose.
So a couple of tipping points in your sort of journey to Saturday Kitchen. Mm-hmm. First proper job that you got paid to cook?
That was Marco Pierre White's.
Oh, interesting. Oh, my goodness me.
Yeah.
Eddie, go home. Wow. No need for Eddie Temple Morris. Now we've got 3.5 hours on what's it like working for Marco Pierre White? I used to hang out with him when you were working for him. Oh,
yes,
my God.
Yes. Well, it was back in the... my first job was in just off Piccadilly at the Criterion.
I know.
Which is around from Golden Square, where you boys used to hang out.
I know.
Those are the days.
Yeah, and then he took over the basement, the Oak Room.
That's right.
Which was opposite the Criterion.
Yeah, the Oak Room. I lasted a month there and I got sacked, and he then put me in the Criterion.
He once served me. He said, "You've got to try this. Chris, you have to try this."
Yeah. Did he force it in your mouth?
No,
that's
well,
what you usually
do. He forced it onto my credit card, that's for sure. It was the 12-hour slow roast pineapple.
Oh, yeah, that's
80
great.
80 quid.
With chili.
What is it now?
Chili and vanilla.
Unbelievable. I mean, it was
it's
nice.
It's amazing.
Wasn't that nice?
Sorry, a slow roasted pineapple.
Yeah, it's delicious. It looks like a shrunken head, though.
Oh, okay.
And then they put the spiky bit back in the top, and it looks amazing. And it's studded with vanilla and chili, ginger. It's really good.
Marco Pierre White is absolutely fascinating. People talk about Anthony Bourdain and Heston Blumenthal, but for me, it's always going to be Marco. His book, White Slave.
White Heat.
Sorry, White Heat. I always call it White Slave.
That was revolutionary.
I always call it White Slave because I've read it.
Yeah.
And it's one of the best books you could ever read. It's like,
well, that...
Did any of this really happen to people?
Oh, my word, yes.
Is it true that when he... Because he says this in the book, and he said it to me. But is it true, as somebody who worked for him?
Yeah.
Is it true that if somebody wanted to work for him, he would just say, "Fry me an egg"? Is that a true story?
It didn't happen to me. I can imagine.
Yeah.
For sure.
He said, "If you can't fry an egg, you're not working in my kitchen."
I can imagine that would happen.
So how do you fry an egg?
Lots of butter. Yeah, lots
really
of butter,
hot pan.
Nice and crispy.
Really,
you
hot
know.
Pan.
So in catering college, they'll teach you to do it sort of perfectly, and there's no crispy bits.
It's got to have
but
crispy
you,
bits.
You need butter and you baste it and make it all crispy. And
yeah, would you spoon
absolutely
the butter over the
baste
top
it
of the yolk at the end?
Yeah.
To get the sort of purple.
Exactly. Just take that sort of
membrane. Kind
exactly,
of thing.
Just take that off.
We're there, aren't we? It's like being on Saturday Kitchen now. So 7 years as the main host. Wow, working for Amanda. By the way, great gang. Great gang.
Amazing.
Saturday Kitchen.
Amazing. Such
very
fun
difficult
crew
to get a parking space, but anyway. apparently, they sorted one.
Do you need
tomorrow
to worry about tomorrow?
Yeah. So I got my briefing notes yesterday on my itinerary. Get there for 8:30. We'll drive for a trail on BBC Breakfast at 9:30 or 10:00.
About 9:30, 9:25. Yeah.
And then we're on, and we've got other chefs with us tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Over your 7 years mm-hmm. of residency, and may your reign continue.
Fingers crossed.
Highlights, guests, heaven and hells, etc.
We've had Gary Barlow is always up there for me. What a lovely man. It's always the ones who have got nothing to prove.
Did he bring his own wine, Gary?
No,
he didn't. Because you know he makes his own wine.
Yeah, I do. It's very nice. No, he's super cool. Stanley Tucci.
Yeah. Did he make cocktails?
Because
that's what
remember
he does.
No, he kind of orchestrated the show. So he chose the chefs. He brought in Jeremy Lee and Emily from Cornwall.
Because hasn't he taken over sort of from Anthony Bourdain?
Who?
Stanley Tucci. Doesn't he?
He does that brilliant show, travels through Italy.
Isn't it with the same production company?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Another fascinating
It's character. A nice gig.
It's a great gig.
And he does it very, very sort of effortlessly as well. So he'd be
darn
up there.
Him.
Huh?
Darn him.
And I have to say, probably Barry Humphries.
Wow. Was up there. I didn't see that one.
He was so sparky. I mean, at the time, I think he was probably 86. And he
was he very
so
naughty?
Sparky. Yes, he was. He was.
What was his heaven and hell? Can you remember?
Don't put me on the spot. I cannot
Sorry,
remember.
I
can't remember that.
It's not fair. Too much detail.
Yeah. Trouble is they blend in one week
to
another.
I know.
And every now and again you get somebody who stands out and they really stood
done
out.
Done so many. So the Omelette Challenge is back tomorrow.
Just for you.
Well, here we go. So I can't remember when and why it ended. Did it end before you took over?
No, it ended while I was there. I suppose it's like everything. They just want to refresh, just try something new.
I still love
now
it.
We have, well, we're bringing it back for you.
Bring it on, you baby. Can't wait. Theo Randall's still the king of the
yeah,
hill.
He is.
14
yeah, yeah.
seconds.
So ridiculous. He's the Guinness World Record holder. 14 seconds. Yeah, so that'd be good. But we, you know, we sort of kind of refresh it. So we got other items now in the middle, and we bring in cocktails.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
You know how it works.
It's a great show, man.
It's a great show.
It's a great show.
It's really good fun.
And where's it going to go? Are you there forever? Are you there forever?
I hope so. I mean, never, nothing's forever, is it? But yes, keep myself in good order, and hopefully I'll be there in a couple of years.
But you see, we talk about, you know, I used to talk to James about it a lot. We talk about, you know, talking to time on telly, on live telly. Mm. So you get a countdown, 30 seconds to go, whatever it's going to be. Floor manager tells you, first of all, with the hands, mm-hmm. and then you get it in your ear. Mm-hmm. And if you're not listening or you're not paying attention, they start shouting in your ear, and you can't hear yourself think and all this kind of stuff. But you've got to cook to time. The heck do you do? We can't cook anyway. We can't. If we got 3 hours to get ready for our family by 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, we get it wrong. You've got like 10 minutes to cook a beef Wellington.
Yeah, and if the guest
to
chats,
time.
If the guest chats too much, it gets shrunk to about 6 or 7. That's all in rehearsals. It's all with a home ex, and then you speed things up. And if you're really in trouble, I usually throw to the table. So tomorrow is Helen McGinn is on.
She's bringing the wine.
She's been away. She's had a knee operation, but she's back tomorrow. So I will throw to them and go, answer question. I mean, in that kind of...
And then you do some stuff that we don't...
You do something, and then I'll quickly do something.
Do something.
And then try and pull it together. But I kind of like that. I mean, it's a bit like this. You like that pressure. You like the pressure of getting things done to time.
What pressure?
Well, I know. You're walking around barefoot, man. I've never seen this before.
It's only because I can't find my shoes, because I'm too panicky. I don't know where I last left. Wow. Right, who's on tomorrow? Who's the chefs tomorrow?
We got bearded lunatic Freddie Bird from Bristol.
Yeah.
He's a lot of fun. Mandy Ying. She's doing Malaysian curry. So it'd be good. The food would be really nice. Really nice.
Okay.
Yeah, you're in for a treat. You haven't done it with me, have you?
No, I struggled with my hell this time, because I've now decided I like everything on
the
planet.
Yeah.
You know,
you do like everything.
And the reason we like more as we get older is because your palate is one of the few things that improves with age.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true, or is it just the opposite? We can taste less, so therefore we don't.
Do I like more as I get older? Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah. I mean, apart from tripe, I can't do that still.
Because...
I'm not that old. Because I just texture and smell. Right. Can't do that.
I struggled a bit with Icelandic food when I was in Iceland. I talked to your researcher about this.
Right.
She said, what is your hell? I said, just deep sea Icelandic food. We went there for a while.
Sea monsters.
Yeah. It's like, well, I've never seen this. David Attenborough's never been near any one of these. Nor has Jacques Cousteau. Or, in fact, James Cameron. Nobody's ever even made this up before. But apparently it's real, and it's off the shores of Iceland.
Right.
Have you been to Iceland?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's amazing.
Is it?
Oh, it's amazing.
It's really expensive, though.
I
think beer's really expensive. That's what everyone tells
me. No, it is expensive to buy things. But like hotels and... You save on taxis because it's so cold. You have just to stay where you want. If you pick the restaurants you might want to go to...
And you don't leave.
Well, you get the hotel that's closest to them because it is absolutely... I mean, it's not breaking news, is it? Iceland is cold. But it really is cold. Your heaven and hell. What would your heaven and hell be?
My heaven is... Chinese food.
Chinese food.
Love Chinese food.
That's very general. If I said that to your producer, they wouldn't let me. They say we need more.
Yeah, I know. It's annoying, isn't it?
I love Chinese food.
I'd have all the favourites, like salt and chilli spare ribs.
Crispy duck.
And duck, obviously.
How good is crispy duck?
Oh, they do these amazing mushrooms. They can wood-ear mushrooms, wood-ear fungus in black vinegar.
Wow.
Which is, they're sort of crispy and delicious.
What about your favourite meat?
Probably pork.
Why is
fatty pork belly?
Oh, okay.
Delicious.
All right.
Wobbly pork belly.
One thing we talked about on the phone in the pre-chat for tomorrow was the heated plate thing. So if you go to a really great restaurant and you get a really well-cooked steak or perfectly cooked,
yeah, okay.
and then they let it rest for the 10 or 20 minutes, so all the juices go back in, all this kind of stuff. And the residual heat does its thing, and they get it perfect. And then they put it on a hot plate, and the plate starts cooking it.
How hot are the plates?
Well, with pork, you've got to be careful. And fish, you've got to be careful.
Yeah, but they're just warm, right? And if they went out cold, the food would be cold instantly. That's the trouble. Okay. And people expect hot plates. There was a very famous chef called Roddy Lee, who he had a customer in once, and this dish kept going back into the restaurant. The customer kept complaining it wasn't hot enough. So he put it under the grill and he sent it back, and it was crucified, and the plate, the waiter couldn't hold the plate. Still wasn't hot enough. So he went out personally and lit a blowtorch in front of this woman and set fire to the plate. And he said, "Is that better?" And she said, "It's marvellous. Thank you so much."
No! Come apparently, on, that's not a true
apparently
story.
Apparently so.
Who's your favourite chef in the world?
Oh, tricky.
Okay.
TV-wise, I used to love Floyd.
Yeah.
And now I love Rick.
Yeah.
I love that gentle kind of stroll.
Also, the one camera, the single camera thing. One pan, single camera.
That's really clever.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't do that.
Well, you don't know. You don't know. You don't know.
Favourite chef in the world? That's a tricky one. We have some great chefs on. You couldn't say one.
Okay.
You can't have a favourite.
Favourite restaurant in the world?
Favourite restaurant in the world? I have a few. So there's one called the Column d'Or, which I'm sure you know.
I love the Column d'Or.
Not necessarily for food, but the setting.
We talked about it yesterday. We talked about their crudité bowl.
Yeah. So you go there for that.
It's like having your own farm of everything you like.
That extra table they bring up next year.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And then Magnum as rosé.
Okay.
Amazing.
So that's France done.
That would be up
Let's
there.
Go to Italy.
Let's go to Italy. It would be a little place in Puglia where it's a butcher's shop. So it's a butcher shop by day, and by night, they have a little wood oven.
Wow.
So you go into the butcher's and you order your steak or your whatever it is, and then they push it through a hole in the wall, and then they cook it in the wood oven, and they just bring it to you.
There's a place like that in Old Antibes called Brûlé, I think it's called, and they have this big open fire, and it all goes on there. It's so hot in there all the time. It's brilliant. And there's another place in Bordeaux.
Yes, I want to go there. I know where you're talking about.
I can never remember the name.
Yeah,
nor
can I.
I've been there.
But,
and they slaughter the goat on a Friday afternoon.
Wow.
In the street.
I didn't know that.
I may have made that up.
Yeah, I think you have. I'm not sure that's allowed.
Yeah. Okay, no, that's not allowed. That doesn't happen in this place that we are now not going to name. It's not even in Bordeaux. It's probably in Brazil. Or maybe not even Brazil. It's probably on another planet. Give us one more. Give us North America. I'd go California, but you go North America. French Laundry.
No, never been. Never been to French Laundry. I try to steer clear of those kind of places with all the hype. I like to go to neighbourhoody places. So in New York, you'd go down and have one of those sort of quite grungy. You know, every restaurant in New York is really dark.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Those sort of...
New York is full of food heaven, isn't it?
It's lovely.
Full of food heaven.
It's fab.
We're almost out of time. What else can we? What else do you want to say while you're on?
I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
I don't mind.
What do you want to do tomorrow?
I want to have fun.
Yeah.
I want to get some people on the Carfest website just because it's going to be a beautiful weekend. It's going to be sunny outside. People will be in the mood for making summer plans. 30 degrees tomorrow. And what I've, as I say, from the gardener, beautiful summer all day. cold drink in the garden. Cold, number one.
Cold drink in the garden.
I still haven't PIMS this year. Anybody PIMS this year? You had your first PIMS of the year? Maybe that's the weekend for
PIMS. I had PIMS at Chelsea Flower Show the other week.
How was that?
It was really expensive.
Did you have to pay?
Do you know how much it was?
For what, a jug or
For one PIMS.
Not a pitcher?
No.
Not a pitcher of PIMS?
No.
To be honest, if you didn't buy a pitcher...
I think it was a pint.
I'm not interested.
I think it was a pint of PIMS.
I'll take a pint of PIMS. At Chelsea, it's got to be 20 quid.
It was 17 quid.
17 quid. Yeah.
It's all lemonade as well. It was. Anyway. So PIMS...
He runs a tight ship, does our man.
Soft drink, lemon lime bitters. That's nice. So
nobody said soft drink.
Soft drink.
Cold.
Say
soft drink? Cold drink.
Oh, cold drink. I'd
Brassos, have. Come on, one cold drink this weekend. What are you going to go for?
Gin and tonic.
Gin and tonic.
Ooh, old school.
Yeah. Negroni.
Well, I had a white Negroni last night.
I love them.
Nothing says summer more than a Negroni. I'm getting hot just thinking about it.
That's a party class, isn't it? Martini, that's a party. Wow.
Okay, we're just talking about alcohol now.
Sorry.
All right. We're on Saturday Kitchen tomorrow. Matt, thanks for being on the Breakfast Show today.
Welcome, lovely to be
here.
Okay,
we're going to have loads of fun tomorrow. Live on BBC One from 10 o'clock till 11:30. Myself, Matt, and the brilliant Saturday Kitchen team. Be a bit kinder than you need to, especially to yourself. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.